The gun debate in America often focuses on one weapon, the AR-15. But at its heart, the AR-15 is just a rifle that has been modified to look and feel a certain way. Guns in America's Jonathan Levinson looks at how that popular image shapes how we regulate guns.
John Bush is a gunsmith in Vancouver, Washington. On this Tuesday morning, before he opens the store, he's fitting a handgun with a new custom trigger.
A few minutes ago, this didn't fit. This is the old one that fits too good.
Bush says in the 6 years he's been in business, he's seen the popularity of AR-15s surge. And he gets it. He's a competitive shooter, and his AR-15 is great for that.
Any platform you can shoot faster and accurate for competition gives you an edge. So, yeah.
But he says it's really not ideal for hunting. He thinks people love their ARs for other reasons. It's an image.
Yeah, it's got that little tactical look to it, and you can go out and see the range ninjas playing around and everything.
The AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle that usually shoots 5.56 millimeter rounds. It has a detachable magazine, so users can put in a 5, 10, 30, or even a 60-round magazine. The rifle you're probably picturing is black. Maybe it has a grip attached under the barrel or an aftermarket scope. The AR lets people customize it however they want. It's a bit of a running joke in the firearms community.
I get ARs in here that weigh 20 pounds, have so much shit on them. Got whatever you want to put on it, including your coffee grinder.
Bush says this obsession with how the gun looks is most obvious when you compare the AR-15 to another gun, the Mini 14. That's also a semi-automatic rifle, but it has a wood frame. It looks more like your grandpa's hunting rifle than something SEAL Team 6 might carry.
Again, they operate the exact same way. More often than not, they shoot the same round, too, with the same capacity. One's just scary looking.
The Mini 14 is neither adored nor vilified. Most people have never heard of it. Kirsten Munchinger is a product design professor at the University of Oregon. She studies how guns hold emotional significance for Americans.
That's an aspect of what you're looking for in your newly designed product is craveability, and it triggers some emotional response.
Today, the emotional response that sells guns is about war.
We are warriors, shouldered by the bravest of the brave. We are tortured, tested on the battlefield.
This is an FN Herstal commercial from 2016. They're a Belgian company that makes civilian and U.S. military firearms.
The backbone of bravery.
FN is not alone. Firearms companies lean heavily on military imagery to attract customers. Tom Diaz was a staff attorney in the 1990s for the Congressional House Subcommittee on Crime and Criminal Justice. He says frequent imagery glorifying military violence can make violence seem normal.
There is a subset of people for whom I do think the bar has been lowered, partly through industry advertising, partly through incautious language by some of our leaders.
Violent imagery has also taken over the discussions around gun control, to the annoyance of some gun owners and the frustration of people trying to change laws.
Most of the politicians who deal with this issue, they don't really have a clue about guns.
Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke went on CNN recently to talk about the types of weapons he wants to ban after a mass shooting in his hometown of El Paso left 22 people dead.
When it comes to AR-15s and AK-47s, that belongs on the battlefield, does not belong in this country. But when it comes to firearms used for hunting or self-defense, the answer is no.
But O'Rourke doesn't explain what differentiates a hunting rifle from an AR-15. In 1994, Congress passed the 10-year assault weapons ban. The law listed a handful of specific makes and models and banned certain features. Tom Diaz worked on the bill but didn't like its language.
The 1994 definition was ludicrous because it, you know, things like a bayonet mount, what the hell does that have to do with firepower? Almost nothing.
Most research concluded the ban didn't really work. Predictably, loopholes abounded. Firearms companies just tweaked their design a little to make them compliant. Diaz says people need to stop obsessing over looks and just ban the one capability that makes guns so deadly, high-capacity magazines.
Let's make it 8 rounds, no grandfathering, so all of these 10, 20, 30, 40, 60, 90, 100-round magazines become contraband after a grace period.
He says an AR loaded with 8 rounds is a whole different creature than an AR with 60. For Guns in America, I'm Jonathan Levinson.